Carrie and Tommy have a stack of laughs for you in this podcast all sorted. And Tassal has dinner sorted with responsibly sourced Tassie salmon that has a healthy boost of omega-3 in every bite.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yeah, welcome to Wednesday, everyone. How are we, guys?
Good. Big show, Bickers. Brooke Blurton ahead of the new season of the Bachelor franchise on tonight is joining us later in the show.
Ladies and gents in this season.
Isn't that fun? Mm-hmm. Of course, someone's chance to become Australia's next millionaire is coming up soon. I don't know if you saw this, Bickers, but I like the English. I reckon they're funny.
They are. They've got a great sense of humour.
Great sense of humour. Did you know that it's just been released, the figures from last year, from 2020, and not one boy across the whole of the UK was named Nigel?
Not one boy?
Not one newborn was named
That's
Nigel.
Surprising. Yeah. Even for shits and giggles, I would have thought someone would have named it Nigel.
Yes,
I
know.
Nigel. Ah, shits and giggles.
And so then a pub landlord decided to do a Nigel night. Right?
Fun.
And then he decided a Nigel night wouldn't be enough. So he's planned a Nigel fest and wants to celebrate with all the Nigels from around the UK before the name becomes extinct.
Isn't it funny that I know exactly what the Nigels are going to look like? There is just a Nigel in my head, and it's usually because you've met a Nigel before.
That's it. That's them. And don't they all look exactly?
No, that's not what I thought Nigel would look like.
Isn't it?
I thought Nigel would wear glasses and have dark brown hair and a bit of a side part.
Which one are you looking at? That's nearly
all
of them.
Those guys there with the cool beards and they're cool Nigels.
I'm cool Nigel is such a funny. No, I'm not that Nigel. I'm cool Nigel.
Look at that. He doesn't look like a Nigel. He looks like a Barry.
He's got dark hair. Is wearing glasses.
Yep.
What do you mean?
No, the
he's
guy
exactly
there,
that you described.
That guy there.
He's wearing. Are you blind?
Or a
me?
Doug. A Doug or a Barry, but not a Nige. Well, they're surprising, these Nigels, aren't
I think
aren't
you've
they?
Lost your eyesight.
I haven't.
That guy's got short dark hair and is wearing glasses.
He doesn't. He does, but he doesn't. He doesn't look like the sort of Nige I was.
For the next 3 hours, we're going to continue to argue of whether a man that you can't see is wearing glasses or not. So stay with us.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Wednesday arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
We were talking on the project last night about Kanye's name change to Ye.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise that Ye was what he was called as a kid growing up. It's always been his like family name. And we got into a conversation about what our nicknames were as a kid, and I revealed for the first time what I used to get called as a kid.
I used to get face ache.
Oh, that's sweet.
Face ache.
That's nice. What a lovely term.
Why would you be called face ache?
Yeah.
Face ache.
They looked at me and made it.
Write down. That's just something to put on the list for the therapist.
If you missed that bit in the middle, it was that I got called face ache, not as a term of endearment, but more because I was so annoying to my stepdad. He used to say, "You're making my face ache because you're so annoying."
Not
so
because
he'd
call
me face ache.
Not because he's laughing or smiling so much his face aches. His face just hurts seeing you.
I was a real bee in his bonnet.
It's fun to say.
Face ache.
Yeah, g'day face ache.
It's not, as a young girl, it's not fun to be called.
Isn't it face ache?
I just.
Face ache and Tommy's a fun name for a show. How many, what period of time were you called face ache?
Oh, I reckon from about like 10 to 16, 17. He wouldn't do it when people were around, fortunately.
Yes.
Would have been awkward with my, you know, young boyfriends and stuff.
Hey, are you going out with face ache over here? My dad used to occasionally call me Dumbo because I had big ears.
Oh, so he would kind of cute, you know?
Oh.
I mean, not cute when you're a kid. But.
And he did it around my girlfriends as well.
They could see, though.
Yeah, they knew. They could see the light shining from behind me, just illuminating the backs of my ears. That was his favourite. And then when the wind picked up, he'd go, "Someone tie Tomo down." Quick, the wind's picking up. Tie Tomo down.
I figure that it's built character, though, you know. That's what it did for me. I mean, I've been called worse online before, so, you know, I'm okay.
Wouldn't we have days where we'd kill just to be called face ache? Oh, my gosh. Please. It's complimentary compared to
Okay. Yes. But I thought I love hearing people's nickname when they're kids, not like Tomo or something, but the weird name that that you were called as a kid. If you were called face ache, because it's interesting... Because after the show last night.
Yeah.
One of the floor managers.
Do you reckon people will realise that you completely lost track of where you're going?
They wouldn't have until you brought it up.
No.
Don't call yet. I did the call bit too soon. Yeah. I had more to say I forgot what it was.
I just tried to nudge you back on course. After the show finished,
one of our floor managers came up to me because everyone on the desk was like, face ache. No one's called face ache. The floor guy goes, I was called face ache as a kid.
Maybe there's more people out there called face ache as a kid.
Angela Bishop, entertainment reporter extraordinaire, DM'd me after the show and she said, I used to get called face ache as a kid. And so then I thought, how many face aches are there out there?
Here we go. So,
so don't call us producer, with your nickname as a kid. I told you the wrong phone to call.
Producer Pip or Producer Bell, are you there?
No.
Wow. Yep. Hey, can you just tell those two callers that are called, tell them we don't care about their nickname as a kid.
Got the call topic.
We only need people that were called face ache as a kid.
Were there any other face aches?
Yeah, thank you.
Young face aches, old face aches, call us 1060.
Carrie and Tommy. Few Wednesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on 1060. We're looking for face achers.
Yeah, to join face ache over here.
My nickname as a kid was face ache. Yes. Not in an endearing way. it was because I was an annoying little as a kid and my stepdad would go, face ache. Look at me when I was giving him the irrits. Yeah. Kate, are you a face ache?
I am. I still am.
Oh, really? Apparently. Even as an adult?
Even as an adult, my mum still calls me face ache. That's
so funny.
But is it endearing in your situation?
It can be both. Sometimes it's used in a derogatory way. If someone's not being real nice, mum will check in on them and like, how's face ache doing? but it can also be in a nice way, like if I've made her laugh too much or something and call you face ache.
Kate, do you have siblings?
I do.
And are you the only face ache?
Ooh. I don't know.
Oh, gosh, we've just realised you're not the favourite, Kate. I'm so sorry.
I'm not what?
I'm so sorry that you had to learn that you were the least favourite child on live radio.
Oh, I think my siblings would argue with that. But I don't know whether it was one that mum uses with more than one person or not.
You'd know. Yeah, you would have heard it, Kate. It's just you, babe. It's fine. It's an exclusive club.
Yeah.
And be proud to be in it, because I certainly am.
G'day, Bernie, or should I say face ache?
Hi. How you going, guys?
Great. Are you yet another face ache?
I am. My dad called me face ache for as long as I can remember. He still calls me that now. He's got a pet name for all of my brothers and sister and also for all the grandkids. And
So it's an endearing name. It's an endearing one in your situation.
Well, yes, I did ask him, why did you call me face ache? Like, because my sister's Buffhead and all the others. And I'm like, why am I face ache? And he said that he used to make me laugh and I used to say, stop, Daddy, my face aches or something like that.
Oh, so he does
call me that when
cute.
I was like two or something.
That's really sweet. Stopped. Mine doesn't have the same sweet story to go with it. I thought maybe it was like a reference from a movie at the time or something.
Face ache?
Yeah, I don't know.
The John Travolta sequel to Face Off, Face Ache.
Judy, yes, do you get face ache?
I'm a face ache, yes. Well, I was when I was a child. I don't get it anymore, though, but I did.
Jude, was it for the same reason as Carrie's?
No, and I've just looked it up, and there's actually face ache is a comic strip.
Is it?
There's a comic strip called Face Ache, and it's a British comic. There you go.
I thought it was from something. Maybe, you know how you said at the top of the show that the guy who owned that pub, Nigel, in the UK had a Nigel party.
You should have a face
Maybe
ache
we
fest.
Have a face ache fest.
And people that aren't called face ache, bring your glasses because it'll be rough.
Carrie and Tommy. For your drive home, for your Wednesday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. $1 million coming up later on.
Party in the USA surprisingly gets played at my house parties more than it should.
Does it?
Yes. I've got
a
couple of friends who very early in the morning will absolutely pump that song.
Bit of Miley.
Hey, Bickers, a little bit of fun information here for you. Might put a bit of pep in your step. I have done a Oxford Dictionary search of the word faceache.
Which is the nickname I used to get as a kid. Yes. Everyone that called, it seemed to be an endearing term.
Yes.
And I don't remember it being endearing when I was a child.
But you remember that.
Yeah.
You said you didn't think it was endearing. Have a listen to this. Yeah. Here we go. Faceache. It's a noun. It's informal, and it says an ugly or miserable-looking person. And then it gives
an
example.
How is that a fun fact?
And then, sorry, it's more of a fact. And
it's a horrible fact.
Yeah, sorry. I sometimes just throw the word fun in. And then it gives an example sentence, and it says, listen, faceache, your mum's going to kill you if you go back to the house looking like that.
That's literally a quote from my childhood.
Yeah.
Oh, fun times,
hey,
Dad.
Up next, I want to talk to you about the eggplant that I saw at the supermarket, if you know what I mean.
I mean, I don't. Oh, yeah. I love this song. Is this Will Smith?
Yeah.
Is this Man in Black?
Yeah.
You're playing your own records again, bro.
Yeah, you know it, bro. It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Wednesday arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because Influences in the Wild is one of my favourite Instagram pages.
Oh, is there an actual page?
Oh, it is so
good. What am I missing? Tell me, I'm going to have a look
as we're talking. It is people filming, people filming TikToks. So,
oh, it's people going, oh, my God, I'm seeing a girl do these weird things.
It's basically,
I think she's doing a TikTok.
And yes, and then they film the filmer. And it's always the poor boyfriend who's, you know.
Oh, my gosh, it's got 4.4 million followers.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I saw one the other day, and it's the, because it's Halloween coming up, right? It was his girlfriend dressed, it's so good, crawling along a beach.
Oh, this is right. It's a woman filming a man, like, doing, like, a sexy shoot on a beach.
Sexually crawling
along. He's, like,
along.
Crawling along like a cat.
Yes. There was a great one the other day where a woman was standing in this kind of field with pumpkins.
Oh,
and she was
I'm looking
dancing,
at this one now.
Sexy.
Yep.
And then he had to not only film at the same time as hold the ring light. Yes. He had to then throw bits of hay in the air over her.
Oh, look at it. Mm. This is, what has become of us?
Well,
if you were an alien, you were watching down, you'd be like, what are you all doing?
It's very easy to laugh at from a distance, and often I think things like, oh, God, must be in LA or something like that,
just
right?
You're that pumpkin one. Oh, it just takes me back.
And then the other day I was in the supermarket, and I looked, and I was just scanning around. I was getting some broccoli because,
yes, we know.
Yep, anyway. And I thought, that's a big banana over there. That's a massive banana. And it was a young lady in a banana costume.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and I thought, she's just standing there. And then I thought, oh, no. And she's picking up fruit and she's juggling the fruit, right? And then she's kind of dancing as well. And I thought, what is this
putting
a banana?
A show at the Woolies.
Yes, is this a promotion to get fruit and veg sales up, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, no, hang on. That eggplant is filming her. And her friend was in an eggplant suit, and her friend was filming
what
the banana.
Fun friends. Right?
And I walked over to the deli, and I said, "Have you guys seen the banana and the eggplant?" And the girl behind the thing went, "Yeah, it's a bit of fun, isn't it?" And I went, "Yeah, I guess, yeah, it is." Although they are fingering a lot of the fruit before other people
in
touch
COVID
it.
COVID times.
Yeah. And she goes, "Yeah, they are." And I went, yeah. And she went, yeah. What do you want? I said, just some salami, please.
So have you now gone and tried to find that TikTok that they were doing, the banana eggplant TikTok?
How would I do that?
I don't know. I don't know how it really works. I mean, I'm on it, TikTok, but I thought really know how it works.
I thought you were the queen of TikTok.
No, but it did make me laugh because I remember when I was filming my multiple TikToks that I've done, one of them was
you
in the driveway.
Making Eli film them.
No, the one in the driveway with me doing Dreams on my skateboard and my bottle of wine was all me. Thank you very
much.
And
how come the production crew?
Sonda
just said she filmed it.
No,
put her hand
up. It's me holding it up like that.
No, they faked it so it looked like
that. No, you filmed the outtakes, Sonda. She did exactly what you're talking about, watching an influence film herself.
All I know is I came in and the whole team, of which is about 10 of us, were stressed.
Oh,
and
no,
I said,
getting
why?
It uploaded
and
was
they
everybody.
They said, Carrie wants to do a TikTok. And so we've all been working all night and all day.
It just reminded me watching Addie and Evie watch me do it 50 times.
Yes.
And I'm sure they thought, why is mum drunk on a skateboard?
Yes.
I wasn't drunk, for the record.
Why? Yes, you said you were because you were drinking that rosé.
No.
You said you went through 3 bottles.
I didn't.
And you,
I was pretending
to that's what you said. You said it was when you were still feeding.
Stop.
What you said.
You are ridiculous.
13, 10, 60.
Why are you doing that so much lately?
Influences.
Stop saying that I like a bit of on your Instagram.
Wacky tobacco.
I don't.
You need to come.
And stop saying I was drinking while I was
You're a pisshead in the stoner, mate. And until you can come to terms with that.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your Wednesday afternoons, Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
$1 million Alpha Bucks.
Alpha Bucks Millionaire.
Hello, Katie.
Hello. Am I with you guys?
You're
with us, Katie.
With us. Oh, we're here nice to win to 10 grand.
And possibly a million. Yeah. Hey, Katie, what's the biggest amount of money you've ever won before?
Oh, maybe like $10 scratchy or something.
Okay,
like that.
So a million bucks is a pretty good increase on that.
Oh, I'd say so, yeah, definite upgrade.
Now I understand, Katie, that you work in a library. You're not in the library right now, are you?
No, yeah, we've got a public holiday down here in Geelong, so I'm so glad you call me because I could get off the desk to answer.
It'd be hard to whisper your answers to us in the non-fiction section,
Katie. Katie, I reckon if it's a public holiday in Geelong, that must mean it's the Geelong Cup. Is that right?
It sure is, Tommy, yeah.
Great race day down there. Katie, are you ready to go?
As ready as I'll ever be, guys, yeah.
Okay, just so we're all on the same page. You've got 30 seconds to answer all 10 questions. We take your first answer. Can't use the same answer twice. If you get all 10, that's when the fun starts. 10 grand yours, and you get a spot on Million Dollar Day. Just pass. If you don't have an answer, we'll come back if we have time. And your time will start at the end of the first question. Bickers is about to give you a letter.
I'm really nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Me too.
I think I'm nervous because we've given away some money now and I know what it feels like and I want this for Katie.
Katie, does when you hear that Carrie's nervous, does that make you more nervous?
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I mean, I'm off the Richter scale at the minute. The hand is shaking, the knees are wavering. But anyway, we'll give it a go.
Come on, Katie, we're with you. We're thinking positive, winning thoughts. You'll be right.
Thank you. Your letter is L for love, L. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's play. Name a girl's name.
Lara.
A fruit.
Lima beans. No, I'll come back.
A UK city.
London.
A body part.
Legs.
Something you turn on.
Lights.
A wild cat.
Oh, what are they called? Pass.
A legal
lion.
Term.
A lion. A what? Legal term.
Term.
Left.
A zodiac sign.
Libra.
A body of water.
Oh, shoot. Pass.
Something green.
Something what?
Now, Katie, you race through a fair few of them, but obviously one of the things we read out is we will take your first answer. Your first answer for fruit, it was lima beans.
Which is a shame because the first part of that, lime, is a fruit.
And you did what so many people, and what I do, which is you start the letter noise and hope your brain, you went, lima beans. Katie, you did great. And unfortunately, no money today, but you can enter again. And to all the people out there, make sure, sign up on the Listener app, search for Carrie and Tommy, fill out the form, and you could be our next millionaire.
We've got a clue coming up very soon for tomorrow morning's 8 a.m. Million Dollar Alpha Bucks, so stay tuned.
Carrie and Tommy.
Wow.
Yeah, and coming up real soon, the time game.
Sometimes truth bombs are dropped in this studio, and I don't know how to take them. They're often just before we go on air as well. We were just discussing. I got whacked in the nose this morning by Adelaide's head. I went in to give her a kiss and she leant in to give me a kiss and then it ended with me crying and I don't think she could understand why I was crying.
Because she was fine?
Her head is so hard.
Yeah.
It's like real hard. Yeah. Right on the top of my nose there. Anyway, we were discussing nose jobs. Yeah. May need to get one. I won't. It's fine. But Sonda said that if you got a nose job, it would be career ending.
Me.
Yes.
I'm like the woman from Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
Did she get a nose job?
Remember how she got a nose job and then she was unrecognisable and so nobody wanted to hire her?
Oh.
I just think he's already good looking, but he's got a few little, the nose pulls him back down from an absolute 10.
Are you saying the nose is an imperfection?
It's a big old imperfection. And if he becomes too good looking, I don't know, he stops being so endearing and funny. I don't think you want to come and laugh at a really, really hot guy, just a hot guy. Is that all rude?
Wow. I honestly did not think any of that was coming. I thought you were just going to say it adds character.
Oh, sorry.
And that would have been much easier on my ego.
It will ruin your career.
I mean, she did say you were attractive. Yeah. Oh, yeah, she said you were really attractive, yeah, just not really, really, really attractive.
You're an 8, not a 10. Okay. And maybe a 7.
Mate, an 8's nice. Yeah. Yeah. Soft 8.
Soft 8. A hard 7.
I'll take a hard
8. Speaking of offending people, we need to discuss something next.
Sonda's dumb dog.
Yes.
You can't say that.
Well, this is what we need to discuss. We will do it next.
Your dog's got a big nose.
Carrie and Tommy.
So you drive home on your Wednesday afternoon. It is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
We were discussing why you were out of the room. Again, your nose. We think what the difference is that because you grew up not a perfect specimen, right, you had to find humour. Like, we all have to find something to get us through. And now you've grown into being a very attractive man, but along the way, you've got
it,
a sense of humour, which is why you're
seven.
So...
Hard seven. Yes,
that's why you're so adorable. Because you grew up ugly. Like all of us, though. If you're hot when you're young.
Oh, you're stuffed.
You're out
you're
early.
Or you just continue to be really hot and you have this blessed life. And well, good on you, I guess.
Speaking of offending people.
Sonda's dumb dog.
So Sonda's dog isn't that smart.
Well, and everybody else. No, your dog's dumb. And everybody else is fine with saying their dog's dumb.
Yeah,
because
my sister says a dog's dumb. My mum even says a dog's dumb. Not golden retriever. What are they? Cocker spaniel. They're a bit dopey.
Yes.
We know. Your owners know if your dog's a bit dopey.
Well, my housemate's dog, Frankie, Johnny not only says he's dumb, he says he's dumb because he's my dog and I'm dumb. So he just copies me. It was the same room when Johnny waxed his bum. And then Frankie got like something wrong. He had worms on me, and he started licking it. And Frankie licked his bum so much that he licked all the fur off his bum.
Johnny's bum.
And we were like, "Oh my gosh!
You look like your owner.
You both got bare bums. This is incredible."
But when we said that in passing, Sonda got incredibly offended.
Yeah. Well, my dog's not dumb, and I'm not either. We're both smart.
We
know retrievers are one of the smartest dog breeds in the world.
Yeah, but there are still dumb ones. Like that's like saying the Swedish people.
But do you
are the
need
best
your dog to be smart? Isn't your dog lots of things? But do you care if it's smart or dumb?
I just think don't be rude about my dog.
When you say that your dog's not dumb and you're not dumb.
Yes, we're both smart.
Are you smart by dog standards or human standards?
Both. And work that one out. Can't, not smart enough.
I was like, what did you call me?
You know I think you're the smartest person in the team. After her. No, I put him above me.
Do you?
But I am second. Sorry, mate.
And also, you've got it round the wrong way. He's smart, but you're definitely smarter.
Oh, this is so insular.
If you give him that he's the smartest, you've already told him he's really attractive, and then you give him the smart stuff, it's all going to be too much for him. And then you'll be back with the guy that you don't want to work with.
He's also the most annoying person I've ever worked
there you
with.
Go.
The most? No.
Apart from that other person.
Yeah.
Anyway, 13, 10, 60. Is your dog dumb?
That I was second bottom then. I was like, yeah.
Can you actually call someone's dog dumb? Yeah.
Yeah. Would you call someone's kid dumb?
No, of course not. But it's not a dog.
He would.
No, to the owner you wouldn't, of the kid.
The owner.
To the parent, you wouldn't say your kid's dumb. No, you definitely wouldn't. I know you're kind.
But I would never call someone dumb in a serious way. But it's funny to say things and people are dumb.
But you do mean her dog's dumb.
The dog's so dumb.
Why are you against my smart dog?
I haven't met your smart dog.
Only
the dumb one.
Oh.
13, 10, 60. Can you call someone else's dog dumb?
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
For your Wednesday arvo, it is Carrie and Tommy. The time game's coming up real soon. But right now on 13, 10, 60, can you call someone else's dog dumb?
Sonda's dog's dumb and she's taken offence to the fact that Tommy has said your dog's dumb.
Yes.
And now she's being all like, she's growled at us like a dog. But in the break she said the dog's dumb.
No!
Said that. You actually said that.
I'm allowed to say that sometimes he can be a little bit stupid. You can't say to me, my dog's dumb. You're just not allowed to.
But your dog's dumb, though. But what if it is? Like
adorable, though.
I think it's just mean.
What do you think?
You can call your own dog dumb and it's not mean.
I don't really say that about him. I try to be respectful of the fact that sometimes he's a bit special.
I feel like you really broke off-air privileges then.
Why?
I feel like Sonda said something in confidence.
No, if she's going to be defiant like this, then the off-air comes on air. She does it to me all the time. Tanvi.
Yeah.
Tanvi, can you call someone else's dog dumb?
Definitely not, especially when it's a golden retriever.
What? And why is that, Tanvi?
They are the most intelligent dogs in the world. If mine could play hide and seek with me when I was a child, how can you possibly say that could be dumb?
Sonda, can your dog play hide and seek?
He can run away from me at the park. Yeah. Like hide and seek,
though. He can get lost.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you've got to find him. Yeah, I've got a list of the smartest dog breeds here. Yep. And Tanvi is right. Golden Retrievers are at number 5.
Oh,
on
what's
the
top?
The Poodle is at number 1.
No,
Border
really?
Collie is number 2, German Shepherd. And then the Doberman Pinscher.
Where's the Cocker Spaniel?
The Cocker Spaniel, hang on, I've got the dumbest here too. Oh, no, it's not on either list. It's somewhere in the middle. The dumbest, apparently, Tanvi, I don't know if you noticed this, the dumbest is the Mastiff.
Oh.
Oh, I thought the Poodle was.
You got on your Tanvi.
What about Michelle? Michelle, do you think you can call someone else's dog dumb?
Well, it's a very fine line because it depends on how you approach it, I guess, because I've got a golden retriever myself and I know that they're apparently meant to be super intelligent. However, most of the time I look like the dumb one in the dog park because he's stubborn as and will not move. So you can call them dopey and then see how they react and then you can go along with it.
Sorry, see how the dog reacts or the owner?
Oh, a bit of both. And I agree with the golden retrievers. I would say that they're clever, but they really know how to make their owners look like the dumb ones.
But Michelle, when you say that your golden retriever is like stubborn and wants to stay at the dog park, isn't that smart?
Yes.
No, well, and then I say that at the dog park, that's fine. But when we take him for a walk on the lead, he will lay down on the ground like 2 houses past my house and look like he's gone for a marathon and he's walked 50 metres.
Again, smart.
Yeah. Oh, he's smart and fat, I think is what
he knows. Good on you, Michelle.
Thank you.
What about you, Sharon? What do you reckon?
Oh, you can't. It's people's babies. You can't do that to them.
Is there another term? Sonda know that her dog's not as smart as she thinks it is?
Either probably unique.
Oh, your dog's just like you.
Yeah. Your dog's
unique or special.
Oh, special. Jesse, do you want to say it again?
Wow. Let's go to Christy. I reckon this is going to be an interesting post-show chat. Christy, you're a vet.
Hey.
You've got the final word on this.
Yeah, I work in a vet clinic and I have no shame in telling an owner that their dog is dumb.
Give it to us. Pretend that Sonda's just brought her dog into you. How do you deliver Sonda the news that her dog's dumb?
I would say, oh, your dog went really well. She was a little bit silly and acted a bit dumb, but overall she's so cute. So you end it with a compliment.
How do you feel, Sonda?
Well, Christy's got the sex of my dog wrong, so I'm wondering who the dumb one is.
Oh.
Sorry, Christy. I took it.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy this afternoon, thanks to Tassal Salmon, responsibly sourced Tassie salmon.
You know what I haven't had in a while?
What?
A bagel toasted with some Philly and some smoked salmon on top.
Yeah.
Because Tassal do some cold smoked salmon. You just go get it, put it on. Isn't that a fancy little morning tea?
Yum. Get some Tassal salmon and chuck it on a bagel, you reckon, Bickers?
Why not?
Good stuff.
You can do anything with it.
Coming up next, the time game. We've got $4,800 on the line. I've got to ask you a question. When we ask people, are they one with time, do you understand what it means?
It means that can you count time exactly the way that time is being counted?
I don't get it either. I just thought
isn't that what it means?
I didn't understand.
You know how long
a
second is.
So do you think you know how long a second
is? No, I'm not one with time. That's why I haven't won it yet.
You should. Would you call in for today's game?
No, because I'm not very good. We've tried that with me lots of times.
You need to work on your confidence.
No, I don't. I'm happy for the listeners to win the $4,800.
I think if you took 1 R out of your name, you could be.
That part of the game really aggravates me.
Oh, well. Prepare to get aggravated again next.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
If you drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's the best competition in radio.
This is the best competition you've ever had.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God.
Time game, baby. When I say time, you say game. Time.
Game.
Time.
Game.
That was bad. Try it again. Time.
Game.
Time.
Game.
When I say, you say. That's enough. Give us the jackpot.
$4,800, bro.
One more time. Give us the jackpot.
$4,800, bro.
Carrie and Tommy's time game.
Jacinta, are you ready to play?
I am ready.
It is $4,800 on the line. What are you going to spend the spondoor on?
On myself, for sure.
Good. As long as none of it goes to charity or friends or family, all right?
I'm all that I need.
Good on you, Jacinta.
All right, you got to count to five. Jacinta, we're going to pass you over to Jesse. He's going to say start. You say stop at exactly 5 seconds, all right?
All right.
Okay. Start.
Stop.
Ooh, Jacinta, how did you feel?
Maybe a bit off.
Did you feel?
I don't know, yeah.
So it felt at one with time or at none with time?
Hopefully it felt at 5 seconds with time.
Okay.
Jesse.
5.30.
Jacinta, so
Debraska.
Close.
Debraska, how do you feel about time?
Oh, that's a difficult one. I'm always stressed about time.
Okay. What's your favourite number of seconds?
5.
Great. You'll be great at this game. No, you won't. Debraska, Jesse's going to say start. All you have to do is say stop. And the money will be yours. Are you ready to go?
Yes. Ready to go.
Start.
I reckon it was pretty much bang on the last one.
Too long. 5.5 maybe.
Debraska, how did it feel in your waters?
I don't know.
Are you at one with your waters?
Jesse.
6.4.
Oh! Sorry, Debraska. G'day, Lisa.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, living the dream. Thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I'm at work at the moment, so...
That's good. If you win, then you're going to have to be ecstatic, but also reserved.
I will definitely try.
Thank you. Are you ready?
Make sure you say it loud so we can hear you clearly, all right?
Are you ready?
I will definitely. Let's go.
Start.
Stop.
Ooh.
Just like your name, only has 4 letters.
You reckon it was
I
in
think
the
it was in the fours.
Do you reckon it was bang
felt
on
quick.
Four?
Felt very quick, Lisa. I know you're probably feeling a bit stressed about being at work, Jesse. Mm. Was it quick?
4.1.
Oh.
G'day, Jenna.
Oh.
Hi.
Jenna.
Jenna's got Hello. 5 letters in her name.
Jenna's got 5 letters in her name.
Yeah.
Why would that matter?
Because that means.
It's got to be an omen.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's see how this goes then. Jenna, are you ready to go?
Yes, I am.
All right. Can I pass you over to Jesse?
Start.
Stop.
What happened, Jenna? What happened? That was like
counting
three,
to
that was
five,
like,
not
that
three.
Was like 3 seconds. What happened, Jenna?
Oh, really?
Jesse, how?
4.17.
Oh,
not that bad.
Maybe actually, Jenna, you were better than us. I've got to be honest. Anyway, jackpots next week.
Carrie and Tommy
driving you home this afternoon. It is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, and guys, I've got a brand new game for you.
Ooh!
I want to see if you guys know how to survive different life-threatening situations.
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, this
not a good start.
This is a step up because normally you just put us in those life-threatening situations. Mm. This time it's
like
just
when we're
imagining
in the jungle.
It. Yes, that's what I mean. I feel
useless.
So much lighter knowing there's no snakes around.
If I didn't have a manager and an agent, I wouldn't survive a day in the city.
No, that is true.
I wouldn't.
You don't even run your own schedule.
No, I wouldn't know where to be. Like, I wouldn't.
You really would make the perfect husband.
I need
just
a wife.
A woman can just boss you around.
Yes, absolutely. But also, that's my dream situation. I just want to be a kept man. I want to work out all day and cook all day and get drunk and then make
no,
a delicious
no, no,
food.
Because you'd have to start cooking at like probably what?
Yesterday.
10 in the morning.
Well, whenever my agent tells me I need to start cooking.
All right, let's play. Your first scenario is, how do you survive being bitten by a snake?
Don't. You just cop it like a champion.
This is interesting because I have a fear of going on summer holidays in Australia that I will get bitten by a snake or that my kids will get bitten by a snake. So I did some research a couple of years ago, particularly on brown snakes. Yes. And then I bought a kit. A snake survival kit.
I have a snake survival kit in my car.
Do you?
Yeah.
In your car?
Does everyone have these?
No.
Why don't you get a snake survival kit?
I can't believe you don't have a snake survival kit, mate. So embarrassing.
But I think you're meant to not move the person around a lot.
Don't
so
you
meant
suck
to...
their venom out?
No. No, I think that's old school. I think you're meant to tie and you're not meant to tourniquet anymore.
I'm
I think
embarrassed.
That's changed. I think you're meant to apply pressure over the spot where it's been bitten, keep them still and get help to them rather than get them to run or walk to help.
I agree.
Yep.
Is that pretty much spot on.
First thing you do is call an ambulance. Don't panic. Don't move.
Hang on. Sorry. If we're learning survival skills, call an ambulance cannot be a step.
Yes, that's the first bit, and then you
Mate,
do these survival
call an ambulance
skills.
Is surely going to be the first thing you do for every one of these.
Yes, but then you've got to keep the person alive.
That's not a step.
If you're in the outback and there's no ambulance nearby, it is up to you
what
to
do
keep
do
them
when
alive.
A snake bites you? Call an ambulance. Next one. Okay.
Was I right about no longer doing tourniquets?
Yeah,
no, you meant
pressure.
To call an ambulance.
Don't wash, suck, or cut or tourniquet the bite.
I reckon suck and blow, then see what happens.
And what about the snake
You'd
bite?
You'd be dead, mate.
But I'd
dead
have a good time.
Dead as a doorknob.
All right, how do you survive a rip?
So I also looked into this as well. Because
wave to the lifesavers?
The holiday spot I go to is known for snakes and rips. So I investigated
rips. Is there a
rip kit
we need to buy?
No. But growing up in WA, as a kid, I got taught about rips. I think you're meant to swim with where the water's taking you so that you don't use your energy to swim against it. And even if that means you get washed up a long way further along the sand, you can walk back versus
the
trying to swim.
Rips take you out.
But don't they take you out and along?
I thought you were meant to swim.
And then it'll turn at some point and you'll just gradually come in rather than go, oh, I'm fighting against it.
I thought you were meant to swim diagonally in.
Maybe you are.
I don't know, though. The other thing is you could, of course, call an ambulance.
You're not being helpful. This is life saving. You'll need this one day and you'll be like, I shouldn't have been joking around about the ambulance. I should have listened to Jesse.
I'll just call an ambulance. I didn't know that.
You don't have your phone out there with you in the water.
You don't have a waterproof? I wear my headset.
Jesse, what
are
you meant
to do? I take
calls. You're supposed to raise your arm and call out for help and then
find the
car.
Oh, my God. This is not life saving.
That is what you're meant to do.
This is like saying, how do you put out a fire? You call the fire brigade.
So you call for help and then
Jesse,
what happens?
Swim parallel
Jesse,
to the beach.
Did you read
parallel,
these answers?
So that means you swim along.
Hang on. Did you read these answers?
But you're supposed to put your arm up and call for the lifeguards.
Oh, my God. I can't do this.
And then you swim parallel to the beach.
I can't do this.
Yeah, yep. And then it may take you to
this is
camera.
Like saying, how do you change a tyre? Well, you call a mechanic.
Did you hear the swim parallel
no,
to the
No, I'm too blinded by the rage. God.
Can we try one more?
No, not if the first step is call authorities.
Okay, it won't be next time. Won't be.
Jesse, you better be editing this as you go, mate.
What do you do if you've ingested some poison?
Oh, God, call the poisons hotline.
I mean, that's what you do first.
Carrie and Tommy. Gary and Tommy.
That is where you're at for your Wednesday afternoon. And coming up next, guys, The Bachelorette.
Ooh.
Hey, how's this for a fun little story?
Tell me.
In Spain, they had a literary award, a book award that was worth $1 million. And the award went to a Spanish writer called Carmen Mola, who was, according to all reports, a university professor.
Carmen Mola.
Yes.
She should have been a dentist.
Yes. And everyone's like, what incredible. Or a muesli maker.
Oh, Carmen. Or a men's car manufacturer. Okay.
How incredible is this woman who's written this amazing book? And then three dudes got up to accept the award and they'd written the book under a pseudonym. They said that 4 years ago they got together and they were like, nah, let's give ourselves a different name. And so they hid, well, they said they didn't hide behind a woman. They hid behind a name that happened to be a woman's name.
They hid behind a woman. Yes, you were exactly
but
right.
But I didn't realise that this happens quite often.
Well, I didn't. I know that nom de plumes are a thing, but I didn't know that it was more than one person.
Yes, that it could be three guys getting together to be behind one.
Well, infamously, don't they think that about Shakespeare?
Oh, really?
Isn't there theories that Shakespeare was, because the work was such a huge body of work and often
that one person couldn't have
styles,
done it.
Don't they think that there's... Anyway.
I didn't listen very well in Year 10 English.
But I'm also throwing out things. That, and the moon landing didn't happen. Anyway.
I was going to give you more current references, like Taylor Swift, for example. I didn't realise that she co-wrote Calvin Harris's This Is What I Came For, you know, babies, that one. That I had prepared earlier, under the pseudonym Nils Sjöberg, a Swedish singer.
Where did that name come from?
Yeah, I don't know. But it was Tay Tay.
That's pretty good. Have you got a bit of Shakespeare you can play there, Jesse, while we're playing all the
Elton
examples?
John got together with his longtime writing partner, Bernie, and they penned Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Yes.
But they did it under the names Anne Orson and Carte Blanchet, and they wrote it for singer Kiki D.
Next, we're going to find out that you are working under a pseudonym and you're actually three men in a suit.
Prince did it. He wrote dozens of songs for other artists, but he never used his name. Yeah. Joey Coco, Alexander Nevermind, and Jamie Starr. Nevermind.
I don't care anymore.
Oh, they're fun facts. It's because you got your joke away.
No, they were fun facts. Seven of them. It's just when he kept...
Okay, well, just because... give us another joke then, just to wrap it all up on.
No, why? You've got three people in that suit. You think of one.
The new Bachelorette, Brooke Blurton, joins us up next. It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home for your Wednesday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
You introduce her.
I have trouble saying the name of the show.
No, you don't. You can do it. I believe in you.
It's the female version of The Bachelor.
It is the...
Bachelorette.
Why does your mouth have such trouble with that?
I find it a really hard word to say.
Bachelorette.
Anyway, she joins us now. Brooke Blurton. G'day, Brooke.
Hello, guys.
I'm so sorry. I find that word just, it's like.
Give it another go.
Bachelorette.
I'm sorry. What? I have the same thing with familiar.
Oh, yeah.
Familiarity.
I think we've all got that one. Familiarity.
Hey, Brooke, welcome to What Word Can't You Say?
Yeah.
Hey, this is a wild season.
Oh, so fun.
We're so excited for so many reasons. The first of which, I saw one of the promos and it was a gorgeous young lady saying, I've known Brooke for 3 years and I just want to find out whether she... feels the same way that I do. And then she steps out of the car. What a bombshell.
I know. Guys, you guys are saying it's wild now. You haven't seen anything.
Oh, God.
What can we expect? Talk to us about this season and why it's going to get hot.
Hot.
I think it's just everything is so new and so different. Obviously similar and same format as The Bachelor is. The franchise, you know, is renowned for its, you know, date cards and rose ceremonies and extravagant dates. But I think, you know, this year is just going to be so different with the dynamic. I think having both female and males, it's just going to provide a bit of a different perspective on what sort of love looks like or what it might be in terms of connection. But I think, I think you'll also, there'll be some entertainment value. A bit of drama, not so much, a bit more sauce.
It sounds like there's heaps of drama. We spoke to you
last
time.
Is it not as much drama because it's not just all women? Is that the difference?
Yeah, you feel me, Carrie, you feel me.
We spoke to you last time, Brooke, and I think you've probably spoken about this heaps, about the idea of the contestants hooking up with each other because there's guys and girls that are into guys and girls in there. And I remember at the time we spoke and you're like, yeah, look, I expect it might happen. It seems like, from what we're seeing of the snippets of the show, that you didn't take it like you thought you were going to take it when it happened.
You might be onto something, Tommy. No, look, there is like a little bit of a hiccup throughout the season that kind of throws me off a little bit. I think I can't obviously confirm whether it's actually, you know, these two people have relationships or whatever it is in the house. But, yeah, a bit of drama, a bit of at the moment people are just speculating, assuming that, you know, it's a hookup. But, yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Well, this is third time lucky for you, Brooke. You left the Honey Badgers season, then you went on Bachelor in Paradise and you had a brief little romance with Alex Nation. But I've read this time you're saying third time lucky's restored my faith in actually loving something so unconditionally and knowing they love you back. So you do meet love of your life type stuff at the end of this?
I do. And God, that moment was so scary. I feel like saying that out loud and like listening to it back and kind of putting myself back in that moment. Like I was like, I didn't know if they loved me back. I was just like speaking my own feelings. So yeah, I will, you guys will see soon, but yeah, I feel like this experience has been one of the best experiences ever I've ever done in my life.
Did you know pretty early on, or did it take you by surprise, and was it a creeper?
It definitely went on its journey. I would definitely say that, and I don't use that word lightly, journey, but, yeah, it kind of ipped and flowed, and I think, yeah, the connection was from the start. But
I think you're contractually obliged to use the word journey once in every interview, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm up to five now, so it means five more.
After the honey badger pulled his real bullshit and didn't fall in love, do they make sure at the start they're like, hey, Brooke, we're so happy to have you doing the show and you're falling in love, yeah, definitely?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. No. You know what, I'm big on timing. Obviously, it wasn't my time with the honey badger and it wasn't my time in paradise, but I think this time around I think I was really more determined. I wanted to really do this on justice and I wanted to do it for myself, not really for anyone else, but obviously, like, I'm representing, you know, some communities, but I feel like I really just wanted to just throw myself in there again, and I think I really leaned into this time around.
Hey, Brooke, all the best with the show. We're very excited for you to find love, and that's great. Just one question before we do let you go. Is Osha's voice getting quieter and quieter as the seasons go on?
Oh, I thought he was quite loud. I think you'll see him come out of his shell a bit more, to be honest.
Oh.
Is he hooking up with the contestants?
Wouldn't that be a turn?
Oh, mate. Someone walks out wearing his hair? How did that happen?
Oh, I love Osha. He's great.
7:30 p.m. tonight on Channel 10. We can't wait to watch it. Brooke Burton, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. See you later.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Now that the podcast is over, Carrie and Tommy are definitely thinking about a quick and nutritious dinner, like responsibly sourced Tassal Tassie salmon. Switch it up, Australia, and get a healthy boost of omega-3 tonight.